Good morning and welcome to Inside Edge with me, Brian Thomas. Joining me is my co-host, Lakhit Piri's Blessed Sunday, and what a game of cricket we had yesterday at the Pallikkela International Cricket Stadium. And what thrilled me most was the support the Sri Lanka team got, despite the fact they've been knocked out of the semi-finals. The crowds that came to cheer them, that's very encouraging. Kumar Sangakkara said it very, very correctly and beautifully when he said, Sri Lanka, no matter win or lose, the supporters will be there to back them. And they all went back very happy. Fair enough, Sri Lanka lost by just 5 runs, but this was a big scoring game. And I think the Pakistanis were lucky to get over the line. Now, look, we all know that Pakistan had to beat Sri Lanka by 63 runs or get to the target, whatever Sri Lanka sets, in 13 runs. So this was going to be interesting. Now, Shanaka won the toss, put Pakistan into bat, and they played exquisite cricket on a placid pitch. Sri Lankan bowlers were carted all over the countryside. Let's take a look at the two teams. There were some changes, some forced, some unforced. Right, Sri Lanka had two changes. Kusal Mendis joins the injury list of Sri Lanka. He was replaced by Kamil Mishra, so that was a forced change. Now, the unforced change was Sushant Hemantha, who hit his wicket in the last game against New Zealand. That looked pretty appalling, and they brought in Janith Lianage, fair enough. And what the Pakistanis did was drop the extra batter, bring in the extra spinner, which means they played with 5 specialist spinners and the 6th spinner could bowl. So they brought in leg spinner Abar Ahmed. Pakistan made a mockery of the Sri Lankan bowling, especially the openers. Fakhar Zaman and Shabzad Farhan, the leading run scorer of T20 World Cup, went to town. They stitched a partnership of 176, mind you, for the first wicket. And when Fakhar Zaman was dismissed, Sri Lanka had bowled 16.1 overs. Just look at the equation. With this, the experts were spot on by saying that Pakistan could go up and score 230 to 240 runs. And they were in a position to restrict Sri Lanka and win by 63 runs because Sri Lanka's batting has been very weak right through this World Cup. But that was not to be. They started losing wickets after the partnership was broken in 16.1 overs, a record partnership of 176. Ultimately, can you just imagine that Pakistan end up on 212 for 8 wickets, short of around about 20 runs, let's say. In the last 5 overs, after being 163 for no loss, they scored only 49 runs and they lost 8 wickets. It was very bad batting by the middle order and the rest of the Pakistanis. What were they thinking? I don't know. No answer. They lost 7 wickets for just 36 runs, which was not very good as far as Pakistan middle order is concerned. Right, Fakhar Zaman made 84 of 42 deliveries, a strike rate of 200, 9 boundaries, 4 massive sixes. Shabzada Farhan made his second 100 in the T20 World Cup 2026 in 60 balls, 9 boundaries, 5 massive sixes, strike rate of 167. Now, before I go to the Sri Lankan bowling figures, let me tell you, Farhan is now the leading run scorer so far with 383 runs. But of course, he won't have another appearance because, like I told you, Pakistan are knocked out of the semi-finals. But he beat the old record held by none other than the superstar Virat Kohli in World Cup 2020. Because Virat Kohli made 319 runs to hold the record. But this was a fantastic performance by the right-handed Pakistani, who looked streaks ahead of most other batters in this competition. So Pakistan 212 for 8. Farhan makes his 100. Strike rate of 167. Now, let's take a look at the Sri Lankan bowling. Sushmita Chamira, 1 for 48. Dasun Shanaka 2 for 42. Mahesh Deekshana wicketless for 35. Villalagay still looked impressive, wicketless for 37. But Madhushan in the last burst took 3 for 33. So well bowled Madhushan. And now we come to the target. Right, the first target that Pakistan had was try and risk Sri Lanka to 147. Okay, and what Sri Lanka's target was, try and get to 213. Don't worry about what Pakistanis want to do. Let's look at the scores. At the end of the 20th over, Sri Lanka were 207 runs for the loss of 6 wickets. And I'll tell you, the last ball that was bowled by Afridi was a wide. Very funny that the umpire didn't signal that as a wide. That looked really appalling, to state the least, because everyone saw it. It was a wide. He didn't signal the wide. Let's look at the climb. In 6 overs, Sri Lanka were in trouble, 49 for 2. Come the 10th over, they were 85 for 3. And the 15th over, 135 for 5. With only 2 recognized batsmen in Pawan Ratnayake and Dafin Shanaka at the wickets. So, 12 runs by these two players was predicted. So, Pakistanis lost the hunt at that time. And look at the fall of wickets. This is what I want to relate to you, how close this game could have got in Pakistanis entering the semi-finals. The first wicket was when the score read 8. The second score at 33, the third wicket when the score read 75, the fourth wicket for 94, and the fifth wicket the fifth wicket fell when the score was 101. So which means the sixth wicket between Dasun Shanaka and Pawan Ratnayake actually took this game away from the Pakistanis in terms of them bowling Sri Lanka out for 147. It's 162 for 6. Sad, 162 for 6, and then by this time Pakistan had lost all hopes of entering the semi-finals, obviously, and their target in restricting Sri Lanka for 147 and entering the semi-finals goes down the drain. Look at the Sri Lanka's batting. Pawan Ratnayake impressed with 58 in 37 deliveries, strike rate of 156, but look at the captain Dasun Shanaka. He is a star, no doubt. Credit must be given when it has to be given. He thumped 76 runs in 31 deliveries, 2 boundaries and 8 massive sixes, strike rate of 245, while the rest of the batters made an absolute ash of their approach. Kamil Mishra made 26. He was exciting to watch. Charita Asalanka, well, 25. But Pathum Nisanka painted a very sorry picture when he was out for 8, giving so much room for opening the off stump. And he didn't realize that Nazim Shah is a professional seam bowler. Had him completely undone, caught at short extra cover trying to reach for the ball. Afridi was very expensive, 1 for 48. Nazim Shah, 1 for 36. Abar Ahmed, very impressive, 3 for 23. Usman Tariq, they depended a lot on the long-fingered right-arm off-spinner. He got carted for 43 runs. And Mohammad Nawaz, 1 for 31. True that Pakistan won by 5 runs. Player of the match, rightly so, Shabzad Farhan for his 100. But they'll regret they had the opportunity of bowling Sri Lanka out for 147. But unfortunately, that was due. Bowling was difficult. The spinners couldn't grip the ball. I'm not making excuses here, though. But then, that's a fact. And that exquisite batsmanship of both Pawan Ratnayake and Dasun Shanaka, well, helped in New Zealand in getting to the semi-finals. Right now then, we also have 2 games coming up today. Zimbabwe will take South Africa at 3 p.m. That is a bit of a dead rubber because South Africa has already qualified for the semi-finals. But the game of the day is between West Indies and India at Eden Gardens in Calcutta, which starts at 7 o'clock. So the winner will then qualify for the semi-finals. So far, South Africa, England and New Zealand have qualified. One more vacancy and let's see what happens. We'll know the result at 7 o'clock when play gets underway. I also have some news from the West Indies, where Sri Lanka women were scheduled to play the West Indians in a women's T20 game. Sadly, the news is not good. Match was abandoned due to inclement weather. Now, before I go and join Shane Dullava for some rugby news, let me just run through very quickly the leading run scorers of the T20 World Cup 2026. Headed by Sabah Basdar Farhan of Pakistan, 383 runs, but he ends there. He's got no more games. Brian Bennett from Zimbabwe in second place, 277 runs. Now, Brian has a game against South Africa today. Can he get to that target? Wait and see. Then we have Adrian Markram from South Africa in third place, 264 runs. Adrian, too, has an opportunity because he's got a game today against Zimbabwe. Harry Brook, 228 runs in fourth place, the English captain. And last, not the least, though, in the fifth place is Hetmyer, 221 runs for the West Indies. So, Brian Bennett, Adrian Markram, Harry Brook, and Hetmyer have a game to increase their total runs. As far as the bowling is concerned, remember Shadley from the United States of America? He's heading the table there with 13 wickets. Then Blessing Masarambani from Zimbabwe is in second place with 12 because he too has a match which he can improve. That figure, Ngidi from South Africa in third place, 11 runs. He too has one more game to go. Varun Chakravarti in fourth place with 11 wickets. And Tikshana, the Sri Lankan, is in fifth place. But no more matches for him. He took 11 wickets. Right. Let me also now join Shane Dullava for Rugby News. The Clifford Cup games were played yesterday. Havelocks beat the Police by 29 points to 10. Candy beat Army in their own backyard in Kandy by 27 points to 15. Thank you, Shane Dullava, for giving us these results. Remember that the school's knockout rugby tournament or the president's knockout rugby tournament gets underway on the 11th of March. The first game coming up will be between Trinity College Kandy, the prestigious rugby institution, against Thurston. Well, that's it from me and Luckett Peters this morning. Hope you did enjoy our podcast as much as we did enjoy bringing it to you. We've had a long podcast because I had a lot to say today, and I hope you enjoyed all that I related. Sit back, relax, get your headsets on. Let's listen to a piece of music.